This moment is holy, and I hear you calling. I turn my face toward you, and my heart is open. You're always pursuing, and my life surrendered. You have my affection. So let my life be worship, and let my heart stay true. May my love never grow cold. May it burn forevermore. May my life be worship to you. In blessing, in sorrow, in the ordinary, whatever the cost is, you're always worthy, yeah. And my heart's cry, and my whole life is for your glory. So let it be worship. You're the only one worth it. Nothing is like you, there's no one beside you. Only you're worthy. So let it be worship. You're the only one worth it. There's no one beside you, only you're worthy, so let my life be worship, and let my heart stay true, yeah, may my love never grow cold. So let my life be worship, and let my heart stay true. May my love never grow cold. May it burn forevermore. Let my life be worship to you.
Well, hello, everybody. Good morning. I want to welcome you to Sunday service here at The Remnant. My name is Pastor Todd Coconato. So thankful that you've joined us. If this is your first time joining us, we want to welcome you. We do a weekly broadcast here, and it goes all around the world. These are like-minded people that love the Lord, We're the remnant. It's the remnant community from around the world. It's not exclusive to this ministry, by the way, but God is connecting his end time remnant in this hour. I really believe that. Do you believe that? And he wants you to know there's others like you. There's others of like mind out there. You're not alone. There's others that love the Lord with all their heart. There's others that are willing to do what it takes to stand in this very critical hour. There are others that are praying and interceding and fasting, that are willing to stand by the entire word of God, not to cave or capitulate or back down or grow weary in doing good. So that's who we are. We're the ecclesia. We're the body of Christ. And we are coming together in this hour for such an amazing time. It's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. I would love to say it's going to get better, but I think it's going to get very difficult. But at the same time, we are going to see the Lord move in miracles and signs and wonders in ways that we have not seen him move in our lifetime. I really believe the Lord is going to just show us his glory. I know that because on Friday night at the Revival Center, that's exactly what happened. If you didn't see the broadcast at the Remnant Revival Center here in Nashville, Tennessee, Friday night was amazing. Last week was amazing. This week, it was like every week, it just keeps going up another notch here, what God is doing. And we didn't even get past the worship before we had an altar call and people were getting delivered at the altar. And it's just amazing. It's humbling. It's amazing. Then came the warfare. Saturday, most of the day, I was in extensive warfare. It was like the whack-a-mole game. I mean, things were just popping up all over. There was all kinds of issues and challenges. And so please always keep us in prayer. And there's just so much going on. We're in a very, very important time right now. And let me just give a couple announcements before we get into the message. So there is going to be this retreat where people from all over the country, Remnant Warriors, are coming into Nashville for the retreat on August 18th, 19th, and 20th. The spots are filling up. We only have a few more left. Where we're going to be able to fit, we're going to be at capacity at the Revival Center. And there's a chance we might get another place, but I just really want to hold the meeting at the Revival Center because of the holy ground that's there. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing in that particular place. And I think it changes the dynamic if we have to go rent a hotel or something like that. But, you know, we'll see how many more people sign up. The signups are still available online. You can go to my website, toddcoconato.com, and just click the events section and you'll see where you can sign up for the retreat, which is the 18th, 19th, and 20th. I know many of you are coming in. I'm so excited to see you. A few of you are going to zoom in and different things like that. So we'll find a way. I'm going to be talking about some very important things that I have not discussed publicly. So this is going to be a very important meeting. If you can make it, come on out. If you can't, we'll figure out a way for you to somehow hear some of the meetings and see what we were talking about. So, but I got to be careful because it's just crazy times. Censorship is crazy. You know, if you're speaking truth, if you're standing for righteousness, there's a target on your back. I don't know if you realize that. I think most of you do. So we are in a battle, and it's a battle of good versus evil. And so anyway, I'm excited about everybody's going to come out. I think it's going to be an amazing 3 days. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday morning and night, and then Sunday morning, and then we'll dismiss. And so I believe it's going to be life-changing. We talk about building the Underground Railroad for the remnant. I think there's going to be some of that going on, and there's going to be people getting delivered and set free. And I just believe there's going to be breakthroughs that take place as we come together. The Bible talks about a koinonia fellowship, a fellowship where the saints of God come together. And it also talks about in Acts chapter 2, when they were in one accord, something very powerful happens when the people of God are in one accord. So if you're able to come out, that'd be great. If not, try to come out next time. We'd love to have you out here, or just visit us any Friday night at 6 p.m. here in Gallatin, Tennessee. And I'd love to meet you in person. Come and shake my hand and give me a hug. All right. With that being said, I think that's it for announcements right now. Let's go ahead and get into the message. We're talking about the book of Romans. This is a study in the book of Romans where we're going to go through Romans chapter by chapter. Last week, we did the 50,000 foot level and kind of the overview. And we also covered most of chapter one. So today we're going to go into Romans chapter two. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter two and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time where you get to get in your word. I'm so thankful for this remnant community. What an amazing group of people that you brought together for such a time as this. There's many Esthers on this broadcast right now. There's Davids. There's people of God that you've anointed for this hour for a mission. for a purpose. And so I just pray as we study Romans, you'd encourage us. We're going to go verse by verse, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Let us have ears to hear. And we just thank you for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, this week, let me just give you one more announcement here that I forgot about. This week, I'm going to be preaching in, not this Sunday, but next week, Saturday night at Alan Didio's church, which is Encounter Today Church in the Charlotte area in North Carolina. And then Sunday morning, I'm going to be at Shannon Williams, Pastor Shannon Williams Church, which is Finish Line Church. And come to either. We have the information up on my Facebook page. I'll put it up on the website this week as well. If you have any questions, reach out to me at pastortodd.org. If you're anywhere in the North Carolina area, we have two nights. We'd love to see you. Try to come on out if you can. And by the way, this broadcast next week will be from one of those services. So we will not have this typical broadcast next week because I'll be traveling, but there will be a broadcast up on Sunday. Okay. We'll still have the Friday night service. I'll be there on Friday night. So it's going to be an action-packed weekend. And then the following week, I better get some rest because then we're going to have the retreat at the Revival Center. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very, very busy. Keep me in prayer that I get some good rest. And I really appreciate that. Okay. Let's get into this. So if you're you're open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read from my notes, and then we'll get into the verses, okay? So it's today we're going to get into the second chapter of the book of Romans, and this is where Paul continues to address the importance of righteousness, of judgment, and the impartiality of God. Very important, the impartiality of God. In this chapter, we're going to see Paul's message to both Jews and the Gentiles, and it's going to emphasize that everyone is accountable to God's righteous standards. This is very important. Everyone's accountable to God's righteous standards. That means you, that means me, that means that person that's out there that you may not like, somebody that's maybe hurt you, attacked you, or slandered you. Everybody is accountable to God's righteous standards. So I always tell people, if you think, you know, when they say, hey, I got to get this person, I said, listen, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You could go after him, you end up getting arrested or something happens to you. The Lord is going to take care of your enemies. He is the righteous judge, and everybody is going to have to stand before the throne one day. That means false preachers, false prophets, people that are out there doing scandalous things, evil things. You think of the Klaus Schwabs, the Noah Hararis of the world, the Bill Gates of the world. People say, why don't these people ever get justice? Soros. Listen, they're going to have to stand before the throne just as you and I will. And you better believe that the wages of sin are death. And so I know sometimes we get impatient or we think, why is there so much evil and why are these people seem to be getting away with this stuff? But I just want you to understand, everybody is held to these standards. And that's what this chapter talks about. So let's go verse 1. Scripture. Verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Now, what's Paul talking about here? He's talking about hypocrisy and judgment. Now, there's something that's very misconceived in the Christian world. There's a misconception. People think we're not supposed to, you hear a lot of times, don't judge, don't judge. We're not supposed to judge the unbeliever because they're in the hands of the Lord ultimately, but also, you know, they're given to their sin. They're given to darkness. And so we are to hold accountable in a system of checks and balances and in a righteous way, not in an evil way or a slanderous way or a demeaning way, but it's okay to judge. Like for instance, it says, judge the prophecy. It says, judge, in terms of another believer, we're meant to hold another believer accountable, but we do it in a loving way. And there's an order to that. And we'll get to that, but it's very important because a lot of people say, don't judge, don't judge. Wait a minute. Don't judge the non-believer, but we are able to, for lack of a better term, judge each other as believers, but we do it not in a way to demean someone or to put yourself on a high horse or that we're better than them. It's to hold each other accountable, to exhort, to encourage, and to strengthen each other, to sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. So that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to sharpen each other, to hold each other accountable, to be teachable. That's why there's an order in the church. That's why there's pastors, shepherds. That's why there's elders. That's why there's deacons. That's why there's leadership. That's why there is a fivefold ministry gifting. And so this is where the enemy wants us to walk in rebellion in a way that we're not submitted to anybody. And there's a lot of people that are free agents out there. And sometimes that sounds like a good thing, but I'm going to tell you, when you're not tethered to the body and there's no accountability, that gives a huge open door for the enemy, not only to accuse you, but also for you to get off course. And I see it all the time. And I've seen it for many, many years in ministry. And that's why so many people are off course and they get into heresy and they get into pride. And you see somebody start off well, but they don't finish well. So very important. So Paul warns against hypocrisy and judgment. When we judge others, we must remember that we are also accountable before God, and our actions should align with the standards that we impose on others. In other words, like, you know, do unto others, the golden rule. I wrote a book recently, and that book had a lot of stuff in it, if you read it. And I have to hold myself to the same standards of what I'm saying we as a body of Christ need to do, you know? And so we say a lot of things, and it's like, as a preacher, sometimes I'm preaching to myself, you know? And then sometimes I'll hear a message or something that I said a couple years ago, and I'm like, you know what? That's scriptural. I need to make sure I'm adhering to that, because it's the scripture. It's not Todd's rules. It's what the scripture says. And so verse 2, we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Now, here's the commentary, okay? We're going to just go through this verse by verse. I hope you're okay with this. Paul acknowledges the righteous judgment of God upon those who engage in sinful behavior. God's judgment is fair and just, and let me just say this, without favoritism or partiality. We know that. We know that there's literally, like, I'm not better than you. You know, there's not levels as far as how much God loves us. It's impartial. He loves us the same. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to thrive. He is not a respecter of persons. That's what the scripture says. God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, verse 3. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now, here's the commentary. Paul questions the hypocrisy of those who pass judgment on others while committing the same sins themselves. He reminds us that no one can escape God's judgment regardless of their position or self-righteousness. There's a lot of people, I call them self-righteous super saints, heresy hunters. They're out there online and they're looking for anything and everything that they can accuse the brethren. Now, is there a time where you issue a rebuke if you're an elder and the Lord's put it on your heart and he's prompted you to do so? Yes. But does that mean that you're out there daily looking for the flaws in other ministries? No. If you make that your ministry, it's a problem. And by the way, it's going to come back to bite you. I've seen a lot of people with critical spirits, and they've never sat in a position of real leadership. And it's like, it's easy to point the fingers, but when you're in the position, you realize how difficult it is, how extensive the warfare is, how you're literally living a life in a glass house, and people are attacking you from every different side. You have a little bit different perspective. You have a little more mercy. And, you know, I've known a lot of people that, you know, before they were in ministry, before the Lord raised them up, they were like that. They were critical. They were constantly pointing out things and flaws in others. And instead of exhorting, encouraging, praying for them, maybe sometimes God just brings it to our attention so we can pray. You ever think about that? There is a time to confront, though, according to scripture. But some people, it's like a daily thing. And that becomes an idol. And it actually gets them off course into a bad place where the Lord doesn't want you to be. Because what does he say? He says, focus on what's pure, focus on what's righteous, focus on what's holy. These are the things that he wants us to focus on. What is the main thing? It's to be about the business of the Lord. It's to die to our flesh daily. Faith comes from hearing from the word of God. It's about not being ashamed of the gospel and going out and making disciples of the nations. That's the main thing. When we get off of that and we start doing these other things where it's like every day we're looking for flaws in other ministries, that's an idol. And I know there's some people that make that their ministry, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to last. It's eventually there's something that's going to take you down because you are basically doing what Jesus said not to do. He said, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. You're throwing stones all day long, you know? So you got to be careful with that. Okay. Number 4, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Oh boy, I'm going to read that again. Okay, this is if you're taking notes, this is a very important one. Romans 2:4. It says, oh, do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? What does he mean? Well, Paul highlights that God's patient and loving, he's a patient, loving God, merciful God. He takes his time. He's called us by name. He loves you more than you'll ever probably know. But what does it say? It says, don't take advantage of God's kindness, though. We got to recognize it's an opportunity to repent and to turn away from our sins. God has given many of us an opportunity. He's given all of us an opportunity. You know, I was caught up in a lifestyle of sin. Many of you know my testimony. You know, I wasn't always a pastor. In fact, pastor was the last thing that I ever would have expected to do. But God had a calling on my life. He called me by name out of a life of sin. And when I walked into the light and life of Jesus Christ, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I went all in. I had an encounter with God. It wasn't just like a haphazard thing or a half-stepping thing. To me, it was like, this is the reality of the world. I have to, you know, make sure that I'm living in a righteous manner. I want to be blessed. I want to be favored. I want to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People say, you know, how did this all happen? They look at certain things in my life. They see a flash and they're like, you know, what happened in your life? How did this happen? God spared your life from 9 stab wounds. You were a Hollywood actor. Now all of a sudden you're a pastor. You have a church and a ministry, you know, and you know, people see the ministry of the family and the testimony of my family. And, you know, there's just a lot. And I'm not saying it's all peaches and cream. Okay. I'm just saying, you know, people see it that are in a really challenging situation. And they know that at one point in my life, I was in that same boat. And they say, well, how did you get from point A to point B? I'm going to tell you right here in this verse. See, don't take advantage of God's kindness. Don't take advantage of his mercy. Some of you for years have been battling with the same sin and you've been drinking. You're an alcoholic and you know it's wrong. You're a smoker and you know for years and years, you know, you've felt in your spirit that you should stop. But for years and years, you've been defiling the temple of God. Pastor, why is smoking bad? Smoking, well, it defies the temple. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, anything that's defiling the temple, anything that's bad for you, you shouldn't be doing those things. Because ultimately, there's going to be a price that you have to pay for that. That's why people get cancer, you know, and there's other reasons people get cancer, of course. And there's people that are not doing anything that they know of that's sinful, and yet they still get it. I'm not saying that. It falls on the just and the unjust alike, unfortunately. But the thing is that when you open the door to smoking every day or however often you do it, is a much greater chance because now you have that open door of defiling the temple. Does that make sense? Why, you know, people say, why is drinking bad? Listen, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, be watchmen. So it says, do not be drunken. I didn't make up this rule. This is something God said. Why? Because when you allow these open door areas in your life, this is an end road. This is a way that the enemy gets in. You wonder why you're dealing with the warfare and the areas of attack on your character. You're not seeing success in certain parts of your life. You're wondering, it's like you keep feeling like you're like that, you know, on that hamster, you know, wheel, just spinning. And you're like, I can't get anywhere. This is a large portion of why many people don't get anywhere. And we blame it on God. A lot of times we blame it on God because people are taking advantage of the mercy of God. And God is a merciful Father, but he does want to lead us to repentance. That's what his desire is. As when we have the encounter with him, it should be our heart to repent of our sin. What does repenting mean? Doesn't mean repetitively going back and then saying a couple of Hail Marys and going and doing the same thing. That's not what it is. Repentance is when you turn from a behavior and you say, I'm not going to do this anymore because I know that this is impeding my life. I know this is impeding my walk. It's an open door. It's an area where the enemy has an end road in my life. And so because of that, I'm going to turn from that and I want to please the Lord. Then the good father that he is, what does he do? He blesses, he puts his favor, he puts his anointing on you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have warfare, but God is going to bless your life. See, I have a lot of warfare, but yet my life is blessed. So it's kind of interesting. You know, the devil will try so many different attacks and so many different things and it's brutal, but ultimately I have a blessed life and the Lord has given me great favor and blessing. And I really believe that this is because I've had to die to my flesh in these areas. And let me just tell you, it hasn't been easy. And I'm not perfect. I never sit here trying to sit on a high horse and say I'm perfect. Do I mess up sometimes? Sure. Do I say things that are stupid sometimes? Absolutely. Do I make mistakes almost daily? Probably daily. Yes. But I am a good repenter. And that's why God called King David a man after his heart, because he was a good repenter. We've got to be good repenters. Amen. Okay, let's get through this because I know we still got a lot to cover here. Verse 5. But because of your heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. I'll read it again. Verse 5. But because of your hard heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's judgment is to be revealed, his righteous judgment. Here's the commentary. Those who persist, here we go, in unrepented sin are storing up God's wrath. It's like you have an account. You ever hear of you reap what you sow? You have an account, and it could be a righteous account, like in Romans 4:20, where you know he's putting a righteous account together, or it could be right now we're in Romans 2, and so he's talking about a bad account. And so literally, you're storing up wrath. On the day of judgment, God's righteous judgment will be revealed, and every individual will face the consequences of their actions. And if they're unrepentant, they're going to deal with the consequences. That's why we have to be a repentant people of God. Does that make sense? You can't, you know, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, right? Is that what Jesus said? If you love me, you'll obey my commands. God said that. And so he wants us to obey his scripture. He wants us to obey his commands. And in doing so, we thwart the evil plans of the enemy and the assignments of hell. We walk in a righteous, upright manner and in a manner of integrity. Our life is blessed and anointed. Doesn't mean it's easy or free of challenge, but we will see the glory of God as he takes us from glory to glory. It's not how we expected it to look. Some people, like, you know, sometimes a loved one, you'll pray for them, and then they'll pass. You're like, why did they pass? Well, we'll understand it better by and by. We're not going to understand. His ways are not our ways. But what we have is we walk in the Spirit. We have a peace. We have rest in him. We know that we've done all we could. You know, I know a brother that's been, you know, praying hard for his marriage, hard for his marriage. You know, for many years, just praying for his marriage. And you know what? The Lord did not restore his marriage. They ended up getting a divorce. But I know that this man has been righteous in the fact that he prayed up until the end for his marriage. And the Lord is going to honor that because he fought for it. He prayed for it. He did what the scripture said. And the person left, you know what? That's up to them. Okay. But he did what he can. And I believe this man is in for a blessing because he did everything that the Lord called him to do. And that's all we can do. We pray, we fast, we call upon the name of the Lord. We do what the scripture says. We don't always know the outcome. It's not always going to look like or be like what we expected it to be. But no matter what, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is what we've got to get through our heads. It's not going to be everything we want. This isn't Santa Claus. It's not us going to God with a Santa list. Things are going to happen that we don't like. It happens to me all the time. Things I prayed for that didn't happen. Some of it was a protection. Other of it, I really don't understand. All I know is that God is with me. He's faithful. He's going to take me from glory to glory because he's taken me this far. And we've got to put our faith and trust in him, knowing that he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent. He knows better than we do. And he is working things out for his glory. And what was meant for evil will be turned around for good. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 6. He will render to each one according to his works. Paul emphasizes that God's judgment will be based on each person's actions. Our deeds and our works will have consequences in God's divine assessment. Verse 7. To those who, by patience and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Here is the key to eternal life now. Okay, if you're taking notes, it's Romans 2:7. The key to eternal life. Those who, by patience and well-doing, seek for the glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. What does he mean? For those who live in a righteous manner, seeking to honor God through their actions and enduring patiently in doing good, eternal life awaits as a reward. Here's the reward. The reward is not here always. There's parts of it that you'll get. You'll receive blessings and open doors and favors and divine appointments. And God will take you places which you never thought you would go as you're obedient to him, you're serving him. But the real reward is in eternity. Eternal life awaits as a reward. Not a lot of people preaching this. That's the reward for a Christian. This is, our life is but a vapor. We're passing through in this world. The good news is we rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Have you thought about that recently? That's a huge deal. Okay, verse 8. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. What? Wrath and fury. Those are some big words. We talk about fire and glory. This is wrath and fury. On the other hand, those who live selfishly and reject God's truth, embracing unrighteousness, will experience the wrath of God and his fury. Yes, that's the other side of God that many people don't talk about. They talk about God is love. Love is love. First of all, love isn't love. God's love is love. That's agape. That's true love. That's real love. Don't fall for the counterfeit love that this world has to offer. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There's counterfeit love that the society is trying to push on us right now. That's not the love of Christ. That's not agape. But there is a true, real, eternal love, a love that's even more powerful than we can even understand in our finite human brains. But here's the deal. There's also wrath and fury. If you're in disobedience, if you're, you know, shaking your fist at God, if you're thumbing your, you know, hey, whatever, buddy, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to do what I want to do. There's a lot of people that even, you know, that call themselves Christians, but they won't stop. I know a guy that just is in total sin, but he calls himself a Christian. He's going to deal with that unless he repents. I know a lot of people like that, actually. Okay, let's go on to verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm going to say it again. There's going to be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. God's judgment applies to all. This is my commentary. God's judgment applies to all, both Jews and Gentiles. That means everybody. Everybody. Everybody who does evil will face tribulation and distress. Everybody. I want you to think about the people that drive you crazy, where you think, you know, somebody messed with your kid or did something so horrible. They stole from you. They robbed you. They did you dirty. They, you know, I mean, I hear all kinds of stories. I'm sure you do too. Okay. All kinds of stories of just awful things that people do. And I always think about, especially if it's a righteous person that they did it to, they are going to deal with the wrath and the fury. The judgment of God applies to all. And everybody who does evil will face the tribulation and distress and the judgment. Okay. Everybody. I want you to get this in your mind, because I know some of you are holding aught against people and there's unforgiveness. And I want you to understand the Lord is your defense. He is going to fight that battle. You lay it down. Forgive them today. Forgive them. I know it's not even for them. It's for you. Release it. Release it at the foot of the cross. Whatever has been done to you. I know, trust me, I've had horrible things done to me. Horrible things, including being stabbed in my heart. I had to release that to the Lord. Because otherwise it would have eaten me from the inside, and there would have been all kinds of consequences from that. We have to release it to the Lord. Amen. Here's the number 10, verse 10. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and the Greek. So here's the opposite now. Similarly, all those who do good will receive glory, honor, and peace, regardless of their ethnicity or background. It's everybody. If you obey the Lord, not only are you going to be blessed and favored on this planet, but for all eternity, you are going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the reward. It's an amazing reward. It's better than anything you could ever think of. You like vacations? You like turquoise, you know, beaches and water and, you know, white sand beaches and, you know, amazing, beautiful things like that. This is a million times better than that. Think about that. Streets of gold. Ruling and reigning for all eternity with the Lord. It's going to be an amazing thing. We really can't comprehend it. If you try to think about it, we really can't comprehend what it's going to be like. Okay, verse 11, for the Lord shows no partiality. That's pretty self-explanatory. Verse 12, for those who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. So here Paul's addressing the different levels of accountability based on the knowledge of the law. Those without the law will be judged based on their conscience, while those under the law will be held accountable to its requirements. You know, there's a lot of theological debate around this, but bottom line is you still got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But what they're saying here is that if you know better, if you've been in a church for 20 years, you've heard all the teaching, you know the Bible, and yet you refuse it, you're worse off than somebody who didn't know the Bible. And yes, they're sinning and they probably know they're doing something wrong, but they haven't heard the truth. There's a different set of standards. If you know it and you're willingly, knowingly saying, whatever, I'm not going to follow it because, you know, I just choose to not believe. I just choose, even though this is the reality of the world, you're going to be held to that standard. Does that make sense? All right. Verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. So you can't just hear it. You got to do it. You got to be a doer. Paul emphasizes the importance of obedience. It's not enough to hear the law. True righteousness comes from putting it into practice. Hello. A lot of people like to preach, like to talk on social media and say all these things, but you look at their life and it's like there's no fruit. That's why the Bible says you know them by their fruit. It's actions. Actions. I mean, look, I could be out here preaching all day long, and trust me, I do, between all the radio shows, TV shows, and everything that we do. But if I came home and was rude to my wife and mean-spirited to my family, then I'd be a hypocrite, right? You got to live it. You got to live it. You got to practice it with all areas, and there's a lot of hypocrites out there. I know you know what I'm talking about. All right, I'm going to try to get through this all. We still got a lot to go here. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they're the law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. What Paul's acknowledging is that even the Gentiles who don't have the written law can display aspects of God's law through their conscience, guiding them to do what's right. They know inherently. I always say, I believe every single person has the blueprint of what's right and what's wrong inside their heart, because I believe God gave us that. And you know what? I know this because when I was in the world and I didn't really know the scripture, but I was out there partying and doing all things, I knew in my heart. And trust me, this is why a lot of people in the gay community, a lot of other people that are in different lifestyle choices that know they're in sin, they hate the Bible. They buck back and they try to accuse us of being people that are hateful and all that. Because why? They don't want to hear the truth because they know they're going to be held accountable to the truth. And inside, there's an inherency. We know inside what's right and what's wrong. The scripture's already inside. Your spouse that's in rebellion, they know. You convict them. Your child that's in rebellion, they know you're right. They don't want to hear it. That's why they got their hands over their ears. We can't beat them over the head with the Bible either. We've got to pray for the right timing and speak truth, but do it in love. And don't beat them over the head with it because that's going to turn them away. But at the same time, you got to speak the truth. It's a delicate balance, right? Very delicate balance. Verse 15, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts while their conscience also bears witness. Their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. What does he mean here? The conscience serves as a moral compass, testifying to the internal conflict between right and wrong and holding individuals accountable to the law written on their hearts. There it is. Okay, this is what I always preach. People ask me where this is in the scripture. Here it is. Okay, what the scripture is saying is, look, the law is written on their hearts, in your conscience. That's why when I was in the world, I knew what was wrong. That's why people shun you out of their life sometimes, because they don't want to hear the truth that you speak. Your life convicts them. You know, you wonder sometimes why people shut you out. And you're like, I didn't do anything. I'm nice. I'm kind. What? Why? Because you convict them. And you convict the you stir the demons in them because of the way you live and the way you walk. Amen. Let's see here. Verse 16. On that day, when according to the gospel, God judges the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. On that day, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Commentary. Paul points out the final day of judgment when God will assess the secrets of every heart through Jesus Christ, the divine judge. Here's that judgment day. We're all going to stand before the throne, and God is going to judge us according to our actions, and he's going to assess the secrets of every heart. You can't hide anything from God. If you think you're hiding something from God, you got to understand he's everywhere at the same time. He reads our minds, our thoughts. He knows it all. There's nothing that's hidden from God. You can hide things from the devil. You can't hide anything from God. So that's why it's like, you know, you got that secret sin or that area in your life where you think no one knows, God knows. And that's holding you back, my friend. That's holding you back because you haven't given it up yet. And you know you need to because it's written in your heart. Amen? All right. 17, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God, okay, what's he saying here? Well, Paul addresses the Jews, reminding them of their privileged status as bearers of the law and their claim to reliance on God. God has a chosen people. It's the Jewish people. Now, in the new covenant, we're one new man. But the deal is that, you know, it's to the Jew first and then the Gentile. That's what the scripture says. And he holds the Jewish people according to the law, just like he holds us, though. Addressing the Jews, reminding them of their privileged status and bearers of the law and their claim to reliance on God. In other words, if you're a Jew, you should be serving the Lord. You should know Messiah. You should know Jesus Christ as your Messiah. He wants to know you. 18, it says, and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law. Again, he's talking to the Jews. The Jews had access to God's will through the law and had the ability to discern what was excellent. Verse 19. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, the commentary is Paul's emphasizing the responsibility of the Jews to be the guiding light to others, leading them out of darkness. Verse 20. As an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having the law, the embodiment of knowledge and truth. It's the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. We know that. He is the eternal sacrificial lamb. So let me just pull this out here so I can see what I'm actually saying here. Thank you for bearing with me. I know this is a little bit different than how I normally teach, but I'm trying to go through a book because I think Romans, number one, is a very important book. And number two, we just got to know the scripture better. I'll get back to my regular preaching, you know, but you tell me if this is helpful because we're going verse by verse. The Jews possessed the law, which contained knowledge and truth, making them instructors and teachers to others. Now, you as a new covenant believer, one new man, you are also, if you know the scripture, we are meant to what? Go and make disciples of the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them the ways of the Word of God. We are meant to be instructors. Not everybody's a fivefold, but we're all meant to go out and make disciples, and a disciple is a teacher. So this is to the Jews here, but it's to all people. Verse 21, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Why you preach against stealing, do you steal? So Paul's pointing out the hypocrisy of those who teach others but fail to apply the same principles in their own lives. You gotta live what you preach. This is the problem in the pulpit today. We have too many people that are preaching and then they go out and live a different life. We can't live a double life. We got to live a holy life. Be set apart. Come out from among them. Be ye holy, for I am holy. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? Verse 22. You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You know, you who adorn idols, do you rob temples? Paul's highlighting the inconsistency of those who condemn certain sins while committing other transgressions themselves. This is back to the heresy hunters. You know, all the people that are out there pointing fingers, I see it every single day on social media. I know you do too. Pointing finger, pointing finger, pointing finger. Now, again, there is an appropriate time to address. There is a proper protocol. There's a proper process. But some people are just going way out there and just doing this all the time. And Paul's saying, look, there's an inconsistency. You're condemning certain sins. You're not condemning others. We've got to stick to the entirety of the Word of God, the truth. So let's go through here now. This part of the teaching is going to be the circumcision of the heart. And this is going to be Romans 2, 23 through 29. We're almost done. And we're going to just go here. So in verse 23, it's you who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. Paul confronts those who proudly claim to adhere to the law while simultaneously disregarding it in their own actions. Boasting in the law without living according to its principle dishonors God and diminishes the true value of the law. Something to think about there, right? We can't be doing that. You're boasting in the law, but you're not living according to its principles. Verse 24, for it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among Gentiles because of you. Commentary, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52:5, to highlight the grave consequence of hypocrisy among the Jews. Their unfaithfulness to God's commands leads the Gentiles to mock and disrespect the name of God. Now, you got to understand, in this time, the Jews, you know, one new man are like the body, the ecclesia today, okay, the body of Christ. And so we're doing the same thing, is we're boasting in the law without living according to its principles. Many people are doing this. And then we're being unfaithful to the commands that God is telling us, and there's hypocrisy among the Christians, and therefore the world is looking at us and they're mocking us, and it's disrespecting the name of God, and it's causing people not to want to have anything to do with God. So this is why we've got our ministry starts with our actions. How do we treat our family? Our family is our first ministry, right? After our prayer life and our time in the Word and our relationship with God, of course, you know, the family is very important. There's a lot of preachers, they have a big ministry, or they're out there speaking, or there's many Christians that are doing all this stuff running to and fro, but their house is a mess. You got to make sure that your house is in order, friends. That's your first ministry, really. I mean, other than your relationship with God, your first ministry is your family. So this is why a lot of people turn away from Christians and God. because we're the salt and the light. We're meant to be the light, you know, and show people. So their unfaithfulness to God commends leads the Gentiles to mock, leads the people in the world to mock us, to disrespect the name of God. Verse 25, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying that circumcision is an important sign in Jewish tradition. It's meaningful only when it aligns with the obedience of God's law. Without a faithful life, even the act of circumcision loses its spiritual significance. There's a lot of people that are out there. They're saying all this Christianese, but then they don't live it. What good is that? Listen, in this season, don't make it about building your ministry. God will do that. Trust me, he will, as you're faithful. He will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. But if you look and you emphasize just this one chapter, think about what all the stuff that we're talking about today, and you apply this in your life, not only are you going to have favor, you're going to have mercy, you're going to have blessing, you're going to have anointing, but not only that, you're going to have good fruit. And good fruit is what's going to minister to more people than you realize, because they're going to say, you know what, this person's not just a hypocrite, he's actually doing it. People are looking for real. They're looking for authentic in this hour. And this is it. This is the answer. So we're only four scriptures away from being done here. So if a man is uncircumcised, he keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Let me say it again. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Here, Paul is presenting a thought-provoking idea. If a Gentile who is uncircumcised lives in accordance with God's commands, get this, his obedience becomes a form of true spiritual circumcision, surpassing the mere physical act. Woo, that's deep. Can I say it again? Did you get this? Okay, listen, Paul presents a thought-provoking idea here. If a Gentile who is uncircumcised lives in accordance with God's commands, his obedience becomes a form of spiritual circumcision, surpassing the mere physical act. Now, verse 27. Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. What does that mean? Paul is emphasizing that the righteous behavior of the uncircumcised Gentile serves as a testimony to those who possess the written code of the law but fail to obey it. Obedience to God's law holds a greater importance than outward rituals. What is that? Religion. Relationship versus religion. There's Pharisees today, my friends, in the church. Pharisees today. If you didn't get anything else today, get this. Paul emphasizes that righteous behavior of the uncircumcised Gentiles serves as a testimony to those who possess the written code of the law but fail to obey it. Obedience to God's law holds greater importance than outward rituals. Mic drop. If you love me, you obey my commands. If you really love the Lord, you're a servant. It's not about you. It's not about being famous. It's not about all these things that people made it about. People are going to see the fruit in your life. Listen, I know some people that aren't too well known. Not, you know, they're known, but not too well known. But the fruit of their life is so rich. And everywhere I go, people talk about them to me. They say, this person has blessed my life. I hear the fruit, just fruit, fruit, fruit. Oh, you don't even know, Pastor Todd, that brother, they spent hours with me. They helped me get delivered. They keep up on me and hold me accountable. You're not getting a pat on the back for it. You're not getting accolades. You're not getting the social media picture. But God sees what you're doing, my friend. And those are the people that have the fruit. It's the fruit. That's what we're talking about here. It's the fruit. And they're holding to the scripture. They're living it out. They may not be famous. They may not be on every television show or out there doing all these things, but they live it out. They are the real deal. That's what God cares about. And let me tell you something. That's what people are looking for in this late, crazy hour. Verse 28, for no one who is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision an outward and physical. In other words, Paul is challenging the misconception that being Jew is solely based on an outward appearance or physical circumcision. He introduces the idea that true identity comes from the heart's condition, not from external practices. Verse 29, but a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, but the spirit, by the spirit. I'm going to read it again. But a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from who? From God. What is Paul saying here? He's saying in this powerful conclusion, Paul is clarifying the essence of being a Jew. True Jewish identity is found in the inward transformation of the heart accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit. Circumcision, whether physical or symbolic, is meaningful, and it reflects a heart that is devoted to God. Such devotion leads to genuine praise from God himself rather than seeking human approval. Now, can we put ourselves, if you're not Jewish, in that category, if you're doing this? Yes. Paul is clarifying the essence of being a Christian, a follower of Yeshua. Our identity is found in the inward transformation of the heart. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, transformation of your heart, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Circumcision, whether physical or symbolic, is meaningful when it reflects a heart devoted to God. Such devotion leads to genuine praise by God himself, blessing favor on your life rather than seeking human approval. This is what God wants us to get, church. We want to live for an audience of one, the Lord. It doesn't mean we don't do things that bless people. It doesn't mean we don't have a testimony and, you know, minister to many people and have people that love us and look to us and they see the fruit in our life. But ultimately, we are here to please God, not man. And we serve him. And we make sure that our heart is in the right place. This message of Romans 2, 23 through 29 reminds us that life lived in obedience to God's law is far more important than any external ritual or tradition or religion. Our faithfulness to God's commands should lead by a transformation of the heart, guided by what? The Holy Spirit. Let us strive to have our hearts circumcised by the Spirit, walking in righteousness, and thereby bring honor to the name of our Heavenly Father. May our lives be a living testimony of his love and his grace to a world in the need of redemption. I love this book of Romans. There's so much there. There's so many principles that we talked about today that if applied are going to change your life and your situation. So I just want to pray that the word takes root right now in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for this teaching today, verse by verse in the book of Romans. And I pray, Lord, that it would sink into every person to listen and it would bless them. There'd be favor, there'd be blessing, there'd be anointing over their life as they obey your commands because they love you and you love them. And Lord God, let us exude your fruit. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind and let us give in to you and not into sin. Let us close the door to sin in our life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to pray before we go right now. I want you to catch this. I want you to get this. Why are we doing this? It's kind of painful to go verse by verse. It's kind of excruciating. But you know what? Something is that the word of God does not return back void. And this isn't the milk. Many of us are used to drinking milk for a long time. This is the meat. This is the substance. And when we get this in our hearts and we live it out and we understand what the scripture says and we apply it, it sets us up for breakthrough. It sets us up for success. And many of you have been waiting for a long time and you've been anticipatory and you've been wondering when your breakthrough is coming. And I just declare and decree in the name of Jesus, it's this season, it's now, it's this time in your walk. I know the world is going crazy, but I pray the breakthrough comes because we're not drinking the milk anymore. We're getting into the substance. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to be people that are actually eating the meat, but we want to go deeper in our walk with the Lord in this time. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the end time remnant church. We've got to do this. We've got to study. We've got to know the scripture. We've got to apply it in our lives, friends. Before we go, if you want to accept Jesus today, lift your hand right now, wherever you are. Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. I heard the Spirit of the Lord talking to me today. I felt it on my heart. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I know I've been wrong. Just lift your hand. It doesn't matter if you're by yourself or you got a bunch of people watching with you. Lift your hand. That's me, Pastor. God sees your hand. Right now, repeat this prayer. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, God. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that, Lord, you'd come into my heart. You'd be my Lord. You'd be my Savior. Jesus, I accept you as my King. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you are Lord. Today, I receive you as my Savior, and I will live for you for all the rest of my life. I commit my life and my heart to you. I commit everything to you, Lord. You are my God. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you are King and Lord of my life. If you said that prayer, I want to hear from you. Every week, it's going up. More and more people, it seems, that are receiving Jesus. I pray that was you today. If you need to, I pray you don't wait another day. receive Jesus today. If that was you, write me, pastortodd.org. I want to hear from you, and we will send you a Bible, and we'd love to get in contact with you if you have any questions. We love you. We bless you. Thank you for tuning in today, and lots of things coming up the next week or two. Hope to see you out here in Nashville, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Next week, I'm going to be speaking at Alan Didio's church on Saturday night, and on Sunday, Pastor Shannon Williams out there in North Carolina. If you're in the area, come visit, and have an amazing week. We're praying for you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Deserve the glory.